Welcome to everyone in person and online. For anyone sitting outside, welcome to you in the overflow section. Listen, if you haven't shared the service, I encourage you, evangelism in this unique season is spelled S-H-A-R-E. It's spelled share. And of course, as soon as you share, people who are not connected to our service, it pops up on their page. So I encourage you, why don't you share the service if you haven't shared it yet. Of course, you can serve in the service by just sharing the service. You can link hands with us. And it ends up going further. So I encourage you to do that. And yo, we've just seen so many people join, get connected to the church because of the sharing. You know what I mean? Because we've been online, we've just realized we don't want to overlook the opportunities we have in this place. For anyone wondering why I'm limping, I tore my Achilles tendon and I'm still healing up. It's been quite a long process. And then last week, my daughter was drifting out to sea and I went out to get her and then my foot slipped under a rock and something popped to get in my, and then I'm back. I feel like I'm back at square one. Anyway, so I'm a sucker for punishment. People say I need to see a doctor. I tell them I see her every night. I'm married to one, but she just says, get over it. Anyway, so get over the pain. Don't be a wuss. So I'm just sort of just trying to stay strong. Listen, we have had a great day. First day back in the building after the short lockdown. And we were in Tableview, Melkbos. Listen, I'm so excited. Amazing things are going to be happening in Melkbos, just with our team there. But we're also excited. In spring, we're launching View Church Camps Bay. We're already building the launch team. We've got our location already, which I believe is the best location in Camps Bay. It's got views of the whole bay. People will be distracted if the preaching is boring. The view is good. You know, that's why it's called View Church. Anyway, so we make sure that it's looking good. But we're already building that launch team. Remember, if you want to be part of that or if you know anyone who lives in the area, why don't you let us know? We are super excited for that. You know, in the season, we haven't asked who's coming back to church. We said, why don't we build a church that's worth coming back to? Why don't we plant churches? Why don't we get ready for more? A lot of people are trying to babysit our past. Why don't we get ourselves ready for the future? God does not pour new wine in old wineskins. So why don't you position yourself? So we normally fast front end of every year, which we did this year. We do 21 days of prayer and fasting. We believe we give God the first part of our year, He blesses the rest. We give God the first part of our month, how? Through tithing, through honoring Him in the area of finance, because He says wherever your treasure is, your heart is also. And God doesn't want our treasure, He wants our heart. But of course, you can't do it without the other. So we give God the first part of our month, He blesses the rest. We give God the first part of our week. First day of the week is Sunday, it's not Monday. We found in the house, He blesses the rest. We give God the first part of our day. His mercies are new every morning. As we do it, He blesses the rest. It's a simple principle. What we also do is, middle of the year, we reset. We normally do a 7-day fast, and we, of course, encourage people to just do liquids for 7 days. This year, we're actually doing a 3-day fast. CJ and Matt are really happy about that, and they just have backed me all the way as soon as I announced that. But we feel that what we saw Esther do as she fasted for God's protection and also God's favor as she went before the king. We believe as we're going to fast from Tuesday, so we're going to eat our last meal Monday night, we're going to fast through Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and break the fast on Thursday evening. We're believing not only for you, we're believing for your business, for your family. You might want to write down some goals this week where you maybe need God to speak, what you need God to speak to about. My wife and I have written down some things, but as a staff, we've actually fasted for the last 3 weeks, once a week. I know you guys are going, wow, you guys are awesome. Then you heard once a week, a bunch of wusses. Anyway, you know what I mean? But we've done that so that we could actually pray and get ready for ourselves. And then once we fast this week, we can fast with you. We can actually pray for you. We can trust for you. So we're going to give you opportunity to bring your request before God. And really just trust for breakthrough in this season. So I want to encourage you guys to join us. But before I just encourage you to join us, I want to speak to you guys about how powerful it is actually to do this, to press the reset button. The reason we looked at Esther is, if you look at the story of Esther, there's four characters that stand out. There's King Xerxes, and of course he's king at the time. Then there's a guy who becomes the governor, and he's Haman. And he pretty much is second in charge in the nation. Then you've got Mordecai, he's pretty much a Jewish leader, and he's also the uncle of Esther. Esther won a beauty competition. The king ran a beauty competition, and he was looking for a wife, and the girl who won the beauty competition would be his wife. So you've got four characters, and you've got one who's very insecure. His name's Haman, and he's so frustrated because specifically Mordecai doesn't he feel honor him or bow to him. Now, in those days, if you were older, people bowed to you. If you're in leadership, people bow to you. It was part of the norm. The fact that he had to put a decree out for people to bow, to bow in front of him shows you that he just wasn't a cool guy. He didn't have influence. People didn't really like him. So in his frustration, he goes to King Xerxes and he says, there's certain people dispersed among the peoples and all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all the other people. They do not obey the king's laws. And of course, he says, you know, if we put a decree out to destroy them, not only can we destroy them, but I can take their money and I can put it in your treasury. And the king Xerxes had just lost a war in Greece, and his treasuries was on the down low. So he needed money, and I think the money option would have really been a blessing to him. And Haman doesn't tell him that it's the Jewish nation, because Mordecai actually had helped the king previously. So he just says, there's people, you know, they're different to us and they don't honor you. Meanwhile, they weren't bowing to him. They were still honoring the king, but they weren't bowing to him. And he says, let's destroy them. Of course, Mordecai hears about this and he's so distraught, but he also not only goes to the city gates and speaks to the leadership in the community of the Jewish people, he actually gets hold of his niece. Once Esther's parents died, she actually moved in with her uncle Mordecai and he raised her. And he says to her that famous line, you know, weren't you born for such a time as this? Didn't God put you in the royal, in this royal palace? Of course, she goes, listen, you know, why don't you call all the Jewish people to fast and pray for 3 days? She of course says, I'll also do it, and I'll ask my people to do it with me. And this is before she goes to the king. In those days, if the king didn't ask you to come in, if you just went into his court, he could kill you. Clearly, it was a happy marriage. You know what I mean? Like imagine you could only see your husband if he calls for you. I've heard Abby put complaints in about Dieter, but we've sorted that out. He's the boss man at home. But very weird marriage. Agreed? Huh? But she actually said, pray for me for God's protection. And she also wanted God's favor. Of course, in this story, in the prayer and fasting, God hears the prayers of the people. He also he awakes King Xerxes to what Mordecai has done for him in the past. He, of course, hears Esther, and he ends up, God saves the Jewish people. And of course, Haman, who tried to put a death warrant on the Jewish people, ends up putting a death warrant on his own life. And God takes this attack on the people and flips it and quickly sorts it out. I believe that when we fast track a move of God. When we fast track God's intervention in our life. It happens all the time. If what you've been trusting for has lacked speed, fasting picks up the speed of the work that God can do. Of course, James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We also see that in fasting. Not only can God bring breakthrough quickly, like we see in the Bible, many times when people are in great trouble and they called a fast, we also see that God promises, as you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Now, my wife and I built, in our previous home, we built we took our bright area and we built on and we wrapped it in stacking doors. I'm a huge fan of stacking doors. Anyone else out there stacking doors? You know you're getting old when you're like, look at those stacking doors. That is just awesome. Anyway, but I like stacking doors and we put stacking doors in. The only problem is we had a newborn baby, we had a 2-year-old and I had two dogs. These dogs weren't small. So my life became chaotic. I had a yard full of rubble. I didn't have a big yard. Like, you remember, we had a 250 square meter plot and the house was 180 square meters. So we had like a little yard that now was full of sand. And I've got two babies who need to run around and two dogs. So it was not the greatest experience. But I did not walk on the construction site and get energy from the process. The energy I got, the passion I got was for what's to come, the finished work. And yes, even as you fast, you might not find the joy in not eating, but I encourage you to be encouraged and find joy in what's to come. The breakthrough that can come as you draw near to God, as you say no to food, to physical food, so that you can get spiritual food. Of course, the Bible says we do not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from our Father. So of course, as we fast, it causes our spiritual man, spiritual woman to become stronger. It's stronger than our natural man. A lot of us are led by our flesh. We live in the natural, but God wants us to live in the spiritual. Your natural man will tell you, don't do this. And even as I talk about fasting, some of you guys are saying, do not listen to him. Body, you'll be fine. I'll give you food. You know, some guys, I joked in the morning, they just blocked their ears. I said, I cannot be held accountable for what I do not hear. But even as I talk about fasting, a lot of you will come up with reasons why you don't need to fast or your body can't handle it. Unless you, of course, have some medical reason why you can't fast, I encourage you to fast. Some of you are planning a doctor's appointment right now for tomorrow morning. Anyway, to find a reason. Let's see, doctor's slip. But your body will say, you need to feed me. And a lot of the time I find when people are sort of not wanting to fast, it's because their body is the boss. Their flesh is the leader of their life. So it's actually a good time to fast. It's a good time to tell your body, you're not the boss. I'm actually spiritual. See, you and I are more spiritual than we physical. What I mean by that is one day your body will return to the dust and you'll live forever in heaven. So when God made you, it made you from dust and said your body will return to dust. But you are valuable. You're made in God's image. What's actually the most valuable thing in your life? Well, it's the breath of God. Because God made man from dust, but then he breathed into man. And you and I are more, the most valuable part of our lives is our spiritual lives. But every day we're feeding our physical lives and we're not taking time to feed our spirit. Fasting is an opportunity to feed what's more valuable. It's a personal commitment to renounce the natural, to invoke the spiritual. You decide that your spirit is more important you decide your spiritual is more important than just being dictated to by your flesh, that being led by the Spirit. I love how Romans 8, 12 to 14 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. I'll say it again. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. See, so if you want to walk in the Spirit, you will see the power of God in your life. Fasting is a dedication to a period of time to devote oneself to the spiritual priority of prayer without food. It's an opportunity for you to reconnect with God, to press the reset button. Now, my daughters are 7 and 9, and they ride. They normally ride their bikes. My oldest just got a hoverboard. The family all got together, got her one. She clearly is now, of course, all her friends are a bit jealous, but she's rocking on a hoverboard, a pink one, that has got a Chinese lady speaking every time we switch it on. It's so loud. Anyway, but she's rocking a hoverboard. And her sister's on a little bike. It's a pink bike as well. The coolest thing about this bike is she's like a speed demon, Zara. So she rides her bike, and then when she wants to stop, it's one of those old school bikes where you backpedal and it slides. No. Are we good? Dita, this one's fine. It's got a lot of battery power. That was weird. Anyway, so this bike, you pedal and then you backpedal and it breaks and she slides around corners. Of course, when I take them to Eden in the Bay, there's a few hills, and so I always go, before you go down, I want you to be aware that before you get to the bottom, if you're picking up speed, you need to use your brakes well. You know what I've learned is the faster my daughters want to go in life, the more important it is for me to teach them how to brake. If you want to be a Grand Prix driver, you not only need to be good on the pedal, that's the easy part. It's actually more important to learn how to brake. Brake around corners. Fasting is learning how to brake so that you can go faster. If we are just racing through this life, you're going to wake up, you're going to be in the wrong relationship, you're going to be in the wrong marriage, you're going to be in the wrong work, and you go, how did I get you? You got you without braking. Here's the crazy thing. If you don't learn to brake, you normally only get to go fast once. But if you learn how to brake, you can go fast the rest of your life. You can have momentum. You can experience God's leading. And that's why it's so important for us to take time. Jesus assumed that all of you would be fasting. Did you know that? He actually assumed that you'd fast at points. He doesn't ever say, if you fast. In Matthew 6, verse 16, he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. What's crazy about the scripture is the people you're speaking about are in the same room. So I wonder if he points to them, the hypocrites on the left do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their full reward. Then it goes on to say, verse 17, but when you fast, of course, put oil in your head. Again, what I'm trying to point out is Jesus assumed that you'd be fasting. Jesus assumed that you'd be putting time aside. Of course, later on in this message, I'll point out a scripture where Jesus gets John the Baptist's disciples and other Pharisees say, your disciples don't fast. He says, well, why would they fast when the bridegroom's here? When the bridegroom's gone, they'll fast. It shows us that the best way to stay connected to Jesus, God, he's assuming that we will be, our connection with him will be so important that we will fast. It will actually become part of our life. So Jesus is thinking that fasting, you're going to be fasting. And the best way to get hungry for God is to get hungry. It's the best way to get hungry for God. See, every time you get hungry for food, you can redirect that hunger and say, God, I want to be this hungry for you. It's the best way to get hungry for God. Jesus even brought his body into a place of weakness so that his spirit would be in a place of strength. He fasted for 40 days. Jesus, of course, God says, if you're hungry, he'll fill us. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God's looking for people who are hungering after him. So there are five benefits to fasting, and I want to quickly give you those five. Number one, it's a welcome interruption. It's a welcome interruption. See, you and I remember life based on power moments, and this is how it looks. You and I remember life based on the highs and the lows. The middle part we forget. I had breakfast, lunch, supper, I got on the bus, went to work, drove my kids to school, did this, did that. Those are the middle parts. You and I remember the highs and the lows. A lot of us forget a lot of our life. And I've no doubt there's no one in this room, no one online, who wants to live a life that's just forgettable. So how do you change that? You welcome an interruption. You change the rhythm. They say change the place and change the place and you'll change your perspective. We change the rhythm. How? We break it. Because you will eat without thinking about it. You're going to wake up tomorrow and think, you're sure you have to remind yourself on Tuesday if you're fasting. Hey, I'm fasting. You know how many times I've caught myself? I'm fasting. Because naturally, I'll just do it. It's just in the middle. So I break that. It's a welcome interruption so that your life is not just in the forgettable zone, that you start to hear from God and start to live a life that's beyond forgettable. You start to live a life for God. Number two, it changes your direction. Your life normally lives in one direction, and we all do it. In the humdrum, we unwind. They say anything left to itself unwinds. Entropy, we start to get rusty. So we live body, spirit to spirit. That's most people on the planet. When we fast, we flip it, and we start to again live spirit, soul, body. See, you and I are normally too connected to this world and totally disconnected from God. We high on perversion, but low on faith. We are focused on the flesh, but not actually listening to this Holy Spirit. And fasting helps you to connect with the Holy Spirit and disconnect with the world. Because prayer connects you to God and fasting disconnects you from your flesh. It tells your flesh, you are not the boss of me. See, you must remember, whichever dog you feed in the fight wins. Whichever part of your life you feed the most will win. If you're not feeding your spiritual life, how do you think you'll be spirit-led? If you're feeding your body will always win. And if you're living by your flesh, don't be surprised if things go haywire, because your flesh is selfish. You're never going to build a great marriage living by your flesh. You're never going to build a great business living by your flesh. You're going to become corrupt. You're going to take people's stuff. See, if you are always dominated by your flesh, you're going to be in a dangerous place. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. You see it? Spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, spirit. That's the way we should be living. See, a lot of us live so much in our flesh, in our body, that our stomachs become our God. Or this world becomes our God. Our desires become our God. And then we ask our desires and our stomach to give us an identity, to give us purpose. And they can't. See, when God's your God, then this life's a blessing. But when this life that's supposed to bless you is your God, this life is very disappointing. I always tell people, if you want your spouse to fulfill you, you will end up hating your spouse because you're asking your spouse to be God. Release them to be your spouse and let God be God. Same with your life. Release God to be God. How? Let him be the forefront of your life. Fast. And let food and life be a blessing. But even at this point, when I ask you to give up food, you're saying, I can't give up my God. I can't give up my flesh. So that's why you're actually thinking about it. Like, you're thinking of every reason why you don't need to fast. Well, I can't fast because of this. Well, actually, studies show that you and I can live on water for a pretty long time. And so we're doing this for 3 days, and I encourage you to go on the journey. If you're a young person, I encourage you to speak to your parents. You don't want to wake up, not eat, and they think, geez, my child is part of a cult. Anyway, tell them what you want to do, and maybe your parents would rather say, do a social media fast. For some of you, that would be the worst day ever. And then you don't touch social media for 3 days. You guys are like, I'll do a food fast, it's fine. Almost finished. Number three, fasting boosts connectivity. Listen, on Friday, our fiber line was down. In the area there, Octatel had a huge issue, and a lot of people in Tableview, Melkbos, Bloberg actually had connectivity issues. A lot of us actually don't have a connectivity in a way to heaven. We're not connected to what God's doing. So when COVID hits, our lives fall apart. When the economy goes down, we go down with it because we were never lifting our eyes on high. And I think in this season, the best way to get through this season and see opportunity and build new businesses and do new things is to stay connected to God, because God can see the beginning from the end. But in COVID, without God, we only see crisis. We don't know when it's going to end. With the unrest, the looting, we say this country's going nowhere. But with God, I'm a prisoner of hope. I keep believing. I lift my eyes. I see things differently. And I stay connected. Fasting is key to being connected. If you have been downcast and you feel lost, the key thing for you in this season is to get connected again to God. I love how Steve Furtick says. He says, you know, they say God is in the whisper. Why is God in the whisper? He says, because God is always close. That's why he whispers, because he's close. But if we don't quieten down enough, we won't hear the whisper of God. Yeah, I don't know if any of you have done this. When you're needing directions or you're lost, For instance, if I'm in a car and we need directions, I'll turn the radio down and ask my girls to be quiet. Anyone ever done that? And you go, I just want to see where we are. But you're like saying, can I? Because we actually lie to people that we can multitask. Has anyone ever done that? You lost, you're putting everything down. That's what fasting is. Fasting is turning everything down to get direction. It says there's a way that seems right to man, but at the end it leads to death. I want to encourage you not to live life where you just do what you think is right. That you actually take time to hear from God. Fasting is turning down the volume so that you can hear from God. Number four, second last point, and I can have the worship team up. Well, just some keys will be fine. It teaches you to say no. Let's see, if you want to say yes to the woman or man of your dreams, the key is to learn to say no while you're meeting people who are not, you're not supposed to marry. I always said the most romantic thing you can say to the person you marry one day is, I waited for you, not I dated until I met you. But the only way you get there is because you've learned to say no, so that one day you've got a great yes. Fasting teaches you to say no. Right now, some people won't fast because they don't want to say no to food. But so much other things in your life you struggle to say no to. Why don't you? Because a lot of you are desiring breakthrough. You say, God, why do I always do this? I keep giving into things that I don't want to give into. What I want to do for you, I don't do. And I keep doing things I don't want to do. Well, why don't you practice saying no? How? By fasting. We call disciples. Disciples are disciplined. If you want to say no to things that are bringing you down, why don't you practice the discipline by just saying no to food? It's the power of saying no that allows you to say yes to great things. It's about saying no to the good so that you can say yes to the great. There are many good things out there, but you will never be able to take hold of them because you keep saying yes to everything. I encourage you not to be a yes man and a yes woman. I encourage you to say yes to God and the great things He has for you. But I also know that you're going to have to say no. You know, I've been in this church now and on staff going to 22 years. It's the greatest privilege. But for 22 years, I've had to say no to a lot. But if you don't have a vision, you'll never say no. It's when you got a vision. I always say, young person, if you got a vision to marry the right person, you'll be blessed because right throughout high school, you'll just say, no, thank you. I'm waiting for the right one. Fasting teaches you how to say no. You know, Isaiah 58 says in verse 6 says, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Fasting is a key to help you break free. But if you can't say no, you'll always be bound. You'll be everyone's yes man. You need to learn to say no. So join us over these 3 days. Last point, it prepares you for what's next. I've had my humdrum days in COVID. Like it's so funny. In the hard lockdown, I'd have rhythms. And on Saturdays, I would make my girls' muffins. And then I would clean the yard, and then I'd pray for them. I'd create a rhythm. It's weird. That's just how I got through. And they actually enjoyed it because they knew Saturdays, there was like just create treats. I wanted to create something. Because if I could stay creative, I felt I could keep my mind healthy. Because I knew there was something else coming. There was more. I couldn't get my eyes downcast. and believe it was the end. There was always something greater. I don't want to wonder who's coming back. I want to build something that's worth coming back to. I don't want to babysit my past. I want to do something new. Fasting prepares you for what's new. You know, Joseph, he interpreted the king's dream. And the king had this dream that they'd have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And the king realized that Joseph was wise. So he put him in charge of the nation. And that 7 years of plenty, he stored. Fasting gives you wisdom in the best of times so that you can navigate the worst of times. Fasting prepares you for the blessing, but also the hard times. Fasting helps you to build a house that stands in the storms. Fasting helps you to build a marriage that gets through the hard times. Fasting helps you to discover your identity in Christ, so when it gets attacked, you don't fall, you don't sway, you don't live by the opinions and the applause of man, but you live for the audience of one. Fasting prepares you. Fasting prepares you for new wine because God does a new thing in you as you set yourself aside, you set yourself apart. See, the most transformational place for you is in a place where you're intimate with God. As soon as you get intimate with God, God can give birth to a new thing. He does that through this intimacy, through prayer and reading the word. See, you become so sensitive to the Spirit of God when you don't eat because that hunger for food, you say, God, I want to be this hungry for you. And you put worship on. It's like you feel like you're in heaven. And then it's like you touch God and He touches your life because you draw near to Him, He draws near to you, and He makes you brand new. The most transformational place is the place of worship. And all of a sudden you become a new person and God pours out new wine. You and I need these moments. If we want to go faster, we need to stop. If we want to hear the voice of God, we need to turn down the volume. If we want to live inside out, we need to take moments and put our flesh in its place. Your body is not a gentleman. Your body will never ask you for permission when it comes to leading you. But you are not obligated to the flesh, as the verse says. But you are to the Spirit. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Do you want to stand up? Online, why don't you prepare yourself? Why don't you stand up? Maybe you are going to join us on Tuesday this year. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just going to come on Tuesday. I always tell people, just come. We won't know you're not fasting. Just say stuff like, I'm so hungry. I promise you, we do not have fasting detectors at the church. I found some people have just come on night one and experienced God and said, tomorrow I'm going to start fasting because I want more. When you taste God's presence, you will realize it's better than food. I encourage you, Tuesday morning, we're going to wake up 6 a.m. Devotional is going to be premiered. It's going to be the start of your day. It's going to be your breakfast. For lunch, I encourage you to have your own lunch. And what I mean by that is read the Bible and pray. I encourage you on Tuesday already, maybe Monday night, before you go to bed, write a list of things you want to get direction from God for. Areas you want God to make you new. Maybe areas you want to learn to say no in. We're not going to, of course, do this fast just to get God onto our agenda. The main purpose of the fast is for us to get onto His agenda. To turn down the volume and say, God, what are you saying to me? Maybe you're struggling in your identity. You just need God to remind you that you're wonderfully and skillfully made. You know, my wife went to Zambia. She put aside time. And while she was in Zambia as a teenager in high school, God told her, you need to be a doctor. It fast-tracked her life. Because from the rest of the time after that, she knew what she needed to study, she knew how she needed to work, where she needed to apply, and she was never distracted. I put time aside at this church. I had an opportunity to travel and that. I felt God say, stay. I said, I'll do it. And then while I stayed, 3 years later, it took me 3 years, God called me into ministry. I never planned to be in ministry. Honestly, it was never my desire. But when I gave a year, I thought I was giving a year to the church and then I was off. because like I put on the best pair of shoes. But what I'm trying to teach you is when you put time aside for God, you can hear from God and you will know the direction you should go, so you can pick up speed in that direction and you can fast track your life. A lot of you are scared to run because you are worried that you're going to be running in the wrong direction. Why don't you fast and get your direction from God so that you can run the race He's called you to? Tuesday night, we're going to be here in the building and Overflow and at Melkbush. You can book at any of the locations. Come, we're going to worship at 7 p.m. Kids Church will be open as well. View Kids. We're going to pray, and then, and I promise you, at Build, there's a momentum. There's something about our Father in heaven. It's a community out. It's not just my Father, it's our Father. We come together. And then again, Wednesday morning, it's going to be premier at 6 a.m. Then you do your lunch Wednesday evening. Fasting is not just about walking away from food. What's more significant is about what you're walking towards. What are you going to walk towards this week? The Word, prayer, worship. So let's prepare ourselves. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you now, and we're trusting that this week you'd speak to us. We turn down the volume, we'd hear your voice. For some of us, there's areas we struggle to say no in. And this week, as we practice saying no to food, you're going to give us breakthrough and to be disciplined in other areas. Others of us, we'll learn about the identity we've already got in you. You're going to settle that in the inside of us. For others, we're going to hear about our call, or what we need to study, the work we need to do so we can start to run. For others, we're going to get breakthrough in our marriage, in our finance. But the biggest breakthrough is we're going to draw near to you, and you're going to draw near to us. And we're going to get onto your agenda. And we believe you're going to transform us so that you can pour new wine into us. We're going to become new creations so you can pour out new wine. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for being here. To online family, I'm going to say goodbye to you guys. We hope to see you 6 a.m. on Tuesday, and then in the evening. And then for everyone else, we'd love to see you. Remember, new people, we got we got the vouchers for you. Love to give you the coffee. And hope you all, we can stay connect. And we'll see you hopefully in the week and on Sunday. God bless.